Delight. What is it? I thought I knew. I thought I really knew what it was. Previously to contemplating this sermon, I probably would have said it was enjoyment, happiness, pleasure, and any number of synonyms that tend to go with that. But now I'm thinking about it very, very differently. And looking up the etymology of the word, I find that it comes to us from the Latin, delicare, which has its roots in delicate, delicacy, delicious. But surprisingly, its oldest connection seems to be the idea of charm, of being charmed, rendered helpless by something that seems otherworldly and even supernatural. I began to love that idea. Also, I love the idea of being rendered helpless by the delicious and the delicate. For my wife, Katie, the idea of delight occurs when something expected occurs unexpectedly. For her, she finds delight in the crocuses that bloom in spring. Each year, when spring is near, she ogles the Lexington landscape in search of these deep purple, yellow, cream, white, lavender explosions. But every now and then, she forgets to do so. She's not paying attention as her mind is on work or teaching or church business or any number of the 100 daily responsibilities she has to attend to. And then one day, there they are. She knew they'd always come, but not when. And when they appeared, without her realizing, it was a wonderful surprise that engendered and engenders in her a delight that takes her and stays with her for a long while. In a similar vein, a friend spoke to me of the lilacs that bloom in her backyard. She planted them years ago when her mother died. They are her and were her mother's favorite flowers. She related that every year when she does deep cleaning, she'll open up the windows of her home to air the place out. And every now and then, a slight breeze picks up and carries that scent of lilac to her. She says how it fills her with delight, a poignant delight that brings with it the reminder of her mother's loss. But a delight that brings a bit of her mother back to her. We both love the book, The Prophet, by Khalil Gibran. And so she began, but as Gibran writes in Joys and Sorrows, Reggie, is not the cup that holds your wine, the very cup that was burned in the potter's oven. And I respond on cue, and is not the lute that soothes the spirit, the very wood that was hollowed with knives. We both take delight in that moment. Yes, sometimes we may have to tease out delight from what is an undesirable circumstance. Find it where it is most unlikely. For instance, I may have told a couple of you this, but in case you haven't figured it out, I am a man of a certain age. That certain age being the age when man has to get up several times at night to go to the bathroom. Now, when this started happening to me some years ago, I got a bit morose and thought, oh, and so begins the decline. Then I found a study reporting that approximately 150 people die every day. Of that number, approximately 12.5% die in their sleep. The study further reported that most men who die in their sleep die between the hours of 11 o'clock p.m. and 4 o'clock a.m. So now, when I wake up at 2 a.m. and have to trek that well-worn path to the bathroom, I give two thumbs up and a whoo, only two more hours to go. Now, there may be some flaws in my thinking, but saying that and that action at 2 a.m. in the morning when I have to lighten myself I experienced just a bit of delight in that unexpected moment. And there are other moments. Moments I've found in sayings from other people that I also find bring me delight. Can anybody here maybe think of something you might have heard a while ago or even recently, a saying that might bring some delight to you? If you got something, maybe I'll walk out there. And if you got something, maybe you can say it. It might give us a little bit of delight this morning. Anyone? You got this on? Seems like it's on. Anyone have? Yes, let me go over. Would you pass the microphone?
As I'm getting close to retirement, my favorite saying comes from Mexico, "Más sabe el diablo por viejo que por diablo." The devil knows more because he's old than because he's the devil.
I love that. The devil knows more because he's old, not because he's the devil. Anyone else have one of those sayings of delight that sometimes bring you a smile? Yes.
This was in something that someone wrote while editing something I wrote myself yesterday. Any ideology should not be carried to extremes. It just, bam, that was it, because that was what the article was about.
Thank you. Any ideology should not be carried to the extremes, right? That's sort of Maison Aristotle, right? Somewhere in the middle of things is where we should find the balance. Anybody else? One more, maybe. Yes. Oh, we have one more back there, too.
Less is more.
Less is more. That is so often true. When I was in my 20s, you could not have told me that. Anybody else? I saw a hand. Yes.
Keep your eyes on the prize.
Keep your eyes on the prize. Absolutely. One of the sayings that have always given me pleasure is a Southern saying. Well, butter my butt and call me a biscuit. It's an expression of surprise, delicious bewilderment, and yes, delight. I see your hand up.
Age is just a number.
Age is just a number. Amen, sister. Okay. So that, thank you. Butter my butt and call me a biscuit. Like I said, it brings me delight when I think about that, right? And it itself is about finding delight in something. Another moment at which words of delight came to me was, believe it or not, I was at a truck stop diner in Arkansas. There was a driver who was at the counter looking over his route. This was before GPS. And he wanted to write something down, but he couldn't find a pen. So he was searching himself, looking for one. And as he was doing so, the waitress, as they were called at the time, saw him searching. And she poured him another cup of coffee, and she gives him a pen. And she goes, "Here you go, honey." And he looked up, smiles, and responds, "Thanks, darling. You're handy as a shirt pocket." Right? "Thanks, darling. You're handy as a shirt pocket." And I thought, oh, that was delightful. But then she responds with, "And you are as welcome as the flowers in May." Yeah, I know. That's how I felt. That's exactly how I felt. That exchange, I was like, oh, this is gorgeous, this language that we find in this moment. I was charmed in that moment, that exchange between two strangers in a diner. Yes, they both had accents that made me wonder if they might exchange pleasantries during the day and support cross burnings at night, but nonetheless, I was charmed. I was taken to my knees, and every time I remember that moment, I experience a small bit of joy. Perhaps that's it, delight. Small joys that visit us like crocuses when we least expect it. Like a breeze wafting to us the scent of lilacs in a room. Poetry found in a mundane exchange in a greasy spoon along an American highway. Perhaps we flutter to delight like hummingbirds moving from flower to flower. Flowers that, if we but ask them for their nectar, will give us enough sweetness to keep us going. Often delight carries with it an epiphany, a sudden revelation that is an illumination. Perhaps you remember the first time you experienced that. I remember looking back what it was for me. I was about 7 years old, and I was visiting my great-grandparents' home in Mississippi. My great-grandfather was a railroad worker, and he would sing these songs. He was pretty much an atheist. He didn't have much to do with church. And he was the caller that was on the railroad, so the person who was doing the singing while the men were hitting the spikes. And one of his songs, "I am working now, all day long, Lord. Here comes the sun, traveling tracks of sky. Whoa, oh, Lord." And he was doing this while he was cooking breakfast, making bacon and eggs. And I'd heard him sing that song before, my brother and I both, and we were in the next room. And my great-grandmother, who was a very, very religious woman, I like to joke about her sometimes. If you ask her what time it is, she'll say it's Jesus 30, right? She'll use the Lord's name like punctuation. You know, what do we happen to eat? Whatever God puts in the pot, right? And she was singing one of her songs, "I want Jesus to walk with me. I want Jesus to walk with me all along life's pilgrim journey. I want Jesus to walk with me." Now, my brother and I had heard them both sing those songs plenty of times. But this moment, for some reason, my great-grandfather in the kitchen, my great-grandmother up front, their songs began to come together and weave into one another, right? And I can't do it justice because it exists only in my mind now. But if I could, it would be like, "I am working, Jesus, walk with all along life's traveling tracks of sky." And my brother and I turned to each other in that moment, and we knew something was rare. We knew something. We had no words to describe. But I go back and I think about that moment. And when we've talked about it, my brother and I, and I tell him, that moment put me on a path. And I don't know. I think I've been trying to travel back to that moment. And he says, "Yeah, that bacon was great." You know? And I'm like, "Yeah, that was great bacon. I will admit that," right? But when I go back to that moment, I smile and I'm transported back to that place of beginnings. That place where I first fell in love with the power of music and words. And also the first time I remember experiencing a bringing together of what we would term as the sacred and the secular, the prophetic and the profane. And I didn't know how that moment of delight that I had no words for would lead me to search beyond the religion I had received to the one I now embrace. Another place in which I experience delight. I'd like to conclude with something I hope will bring you a little bit of delight. This was born out of the sentiments that were expressed in the two readings and the story that Reverend Becky read us earlier. The idea that we should seek joy and not let the ugliness of the daily news and the insanities of the world win. Seeking delight is a sort of form of rebellion, a delicious rebellion. Now, in this conclusion, you have a little bit of work to do. Emma has worked you, and I will work you now. All you have to say is, "It's been a good day." You've seen it. "It's been a good day." Can you say it with me? "It's been a good day." Right. When I point at you, that's what you say. Let's try it again. Exactly. Now, I always think about that, and I think about one of my great-grandfather's sayings, which is, "Any brief time looking down at the blossoms beats an eternity looking up at the roots." So, if we have found ourselves in the world and the land of the living, we have just a little bit of reason to have delight. So, it's been a good day. Now, I wrote this piece to draw your attention to all the good the nightly news will fail to mention. That's all the bad that could have happened to us all today, but somehow didn't. I wrote it because I often find this Homo sapiens species of mine often has a mind inclined toward being pessimistic. It's not our fault. These big brains of ours tend to trend us toward the sour, and that's an evolutionary thing, by the way. But if for a moment we afforded thoughts to the disasters we've thus far avoided, I think we'd have to say, "Hey, given all that could have gone astray, it's been a good day.
Given life's capricious come what may, I think it's not a crazy thing to say. It's been a good day. Now, when things get dark, look at the bright side. At least today, you haven't lost another eye. Cops didn't find your stash. You didn't get into a car crash and die. You didn't become the subject of a true crime drama. Didn't get bitten by a rabbit llama. Didn't get hit on by the ghost of your dead best friend's grandmama. Didn't get a blood clot. Didn't catch a case of crotch rot. Didn't discover a new orifice in a place you would rather have not. So given all that could be going wrong right now, but isn't, why don't we all just admit it? Hey!
It's been a good day.
Given all that could have gone astray.
It's been a good day.
Given life's capricious come what may.
It's been a good day.
I think it's not a crazy thing to say.
It's been a good day.
A good day. Now, the other day, I was walking along. Had my favorite shoes on. What did I do? Stepped in dog poo and thought, oh man, that's just wrong. Well, that's what it came to be. This epiphany dawned on me that I could have been walking down the street wearing no shoes at all. Then I remembered what someone said when I was in the sixth or seventh grade. It was about a bird dropping a present in his eye. He said first he got mad, then he thought and got real glad and thanked God that cows don't fly. Given all that could have gone astray, given life's capricious come what may, I think it's not a crazy thing to say.
It's a
very good day. My friend, the poet Rick McIntyre, says, always look for the light because the darkness will find you all on its own. And I try to remember that in between those times when the big fists and jackboots of the world come pounding and kicking at this door in my head. May you also find a light when and where you least expect it, and may it take you when you most need it. Praise. Blessed be.